This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Today, Visionaries and Voices. The local nonprofit group provides artistic opportunities and support to more than 140 artists with disabilities in the area. You'll learn more about that organization and their Double Vision Gala happening tonight. That's a little later on Cincinnati Edition. But first, a total eclipse of the moon. The first of two lunar eclipses happening this year is coming up the morning of April 15th. And local astronomers will be out in force to watch the cosmic event. Joining me in the studio to talk about the eclipse and other astronomical events are Cincinnati Observatory Outreach Astronomer and co-host of Stargazers on PBS, Dean Regas, and Dr. Wes Ryle, Assistant Professor of Math and Physics at Thomas More College. Dean, Wes, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Well, both the Cincinnati Observatory and the new Astronomical Bank of Kentucky Observatory at Thomas More College have events focused on this lunar eclipse that's coming up on all days, tax day, tax morning. Why all the attention on this total lunar eclipse?
Well, for me, it's we haven't had a lunar eclipse in so long from Cincinnati that's been visible. We've had one that was clouded out, so it's been over 6 years since we've had a lunar eclipse. And I think on top of that, it's tax day. So, like, you know, the ancients looked at these eclipses like the world was going to end. And for modern Americans, maybe tax day is the end of the world for them.
I see. And Wes?
And that's right. It's also kind of interesting because it's going to be the first of four. As you mentioned, there's going to be one that's happening later this year, but it's also there's going to be four in a row called a lunar eclipse tetrad. And so if you miss out on it this time, there's going to be some more opportunities for it here again in the future.
And this happens, you know, I guess not only do we have to worry about clouds here in Cincinnati, but this is also an event that happens literally in the middle of the night. So
yeah.
It's going to be a little bit rough for some non-astronomical types to really take this in.
Yeah, I'm not a morning person, so this is not – I'm not looking forward to getting up that early. But, again, it's been 6 years, so I always want to see the celestial dance up there with the Earth, Sun, and Moon lining up. So everything begins at 2 a.m., so you can either stay up all night or set your alarm. And my favorite part is actually seeing the beginning, right when the shadow appears on the moon and you have your watch there, you're waiting for the exact moment, and bingo, it happens right at the exact second. So that's where I want to see is the 2 o'clock right when it starts.
And definitely one of the nice things about a lunar eclipse, as opposed to a lot of the other events, you don't need any kind of special equipment in order to be able to view it. Like Dean said, if you're not overly dedicated, if you just want to set your alarm for earlier in the morning, go outside, pop your head out, and take a look. That's all you really need to do.
And well, you know, you said it's early in the morning. Could be late at night there, Dean.
Could be late at night. I used to be a night owl back in the days. But then, yeah, once you get past the start, then it'll be the shadow of the Earth will slowly creep across the moon. After about an hour, then it'll be in total eclipse. So from about 3:06 to 4:25 a.m., it'll be totally in the shadow of the Earth. And this is the point where, you know, it doesn't disappear. It's still there. It's still visible. And it turns that eerie shade of orangish, reddish, grayish, whatever color. It's always a mystery what it's going to be.
And this is something that a lot of people think when they hear eclipse, they think of the solar eclipses where the sun gets blotted out. But this is different, right, Wes?
Right. This is different. So this is the moon actually passing into the Earth's shadow. And so in order for that to happen, you kind of need the order of the objects to be sun, Earth, and then moon. That, of course, means it also has to be a full moon when this event is happening. It doesn't happen every single month. That's something that people have a tendency to get confused about. And it's like, well, if that's really all you need, the sun, the Earth, and the moon all lined up, why doesn't it happen every month? The reason being, the moon's orbit compared to the way that the Earth orbits around the sun, it's off by just a little bit of amount. It's about a 5-degree tilt. And because of that, on most months when there's a full moon, the moon will either be a little bit above the Earth or a little bit below the Earth. And so you won't have that perfect alignment. But there's two times a year, usually, where the alignment will be just right, and you'll get the lunar eclipse.
So you talked about the tetrad, and we mentioned there's twice this year that it will happen, and also twice next year it will happen. But does it usually happen? It is twice a year that the lunar eclipses?
Usually you'll get two lunar eclipses a year and two solar eclipses a year. Of course, you always have to be in the right place in order to be able to see it. For a lunar eclipse, that's a little bit easier because all you have to do is be on the correct side of the Earth, the night side of the Earth. but for a lunar or for a solar eclipse, that's actually a little bit more difficult because the shadow of the moon on the Earth is actually quite small. So you really have to be in the right country, in the right continent in order to be able to see it.
Dr. Wes Ryle from the Thomas More College Observatory, the New Astronomical Bank of Kentucky Observatory. Also here in the studio with me is Dean Regas from the Cincinnati Observatory, talking about Tuesday morning's total lunar eclipse. You can join the conversation. You have a question about the moon and the stars and the sun and the Earth. Give us a call at 513-419-7100. That's 419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. Send us a tweet or a post on the WVXU Facebook page. And I'll go back to you, Wes. And I was wondering why, because the moon shadow, when we have a solar eclipse, the moon shadow is very narrow. But you would think that the Earth being larger than the moon, that when the moon went in its shadow, it would totally disappear too. Why does it not?
So we were talking about that alignment and how that alignment needs to be just right. If it is a perfect alignment, in that case, the moon will actually pass into the darkest part of the Earth's shadow. It's called the umbra of the Earth's shadow, and that's where you actually get a total lunar eclipse. But if the alignment is just a little bit off, and if the timing is just a little bit off between when full moon happens and when it's when the Earth and the moon and the sun are all lined up, you can get it where the moon will just pass through part of the Earth's shadow, and so you'll get a partial lunar eclipse where only a little bit of the moon will disappear. There's also something called a penumbral lunar eclipse that can happen where you're passing through the lighter part of the Earth's shadow, and those events actually aren't noticeable from the ground at all unless you're paying really close attention to the moon, and so usually those don't get announced at all. There's really no order to the way that that happens, so sometimes there'll be a total lunar eclipse, sometimes it'll be partial, sometimes it'll be penumbral, and we're lucky at this point to actually have four total in a row.
So there's not usually four total in a row, that this tetrad is something out of the ordinary?
Slightly, yeah. It's not the most rare thing in the world, but it's pretty rare, especially since we haven't had a lunar eclipse in Cincinnati for so long. We did have a lunar eclipse in 2012, but we couldn't see it in Cincinnati. You had to be out west. And then we had one in 2010, but it was cloudy. And so having these four in a row, it's kind of a cool opportunity to see these. So, yeah, if you'd missed, I always hate to say this, don't miss this one. You see this one on April 15th. But if you do miss this one, we do have three more coming up. The one that's coming up at the end of the four is the one I'm most interested in. Because we've got April this year, October this year, April next year, and September of next year. And so in 2015, the lunar eclipse is going to be on the same day as the supermoon. If you guys are not familiar with this, this is when the moon is closest to the Earth for the year. It's a very modern fad called the supermoon that people have been hyping recently. And the moon appears slightly bigger, but it's going to be supermoon and lunar eclipse. This is going to be like a media frenzy. I can't wait.
And does that mean that the moon will be nearly as big as Mars is when it's closest
that,
to the Earth?
Oh, Mark, come on. Don't bring out that one again, because we have Mars close to us right now.
Exactly.
And we have been seeing Mars in the telescope at the observatory, and it looks pretty good. We've been seeing some features on the planet itself, but it doesn't look like the full moon. Sorry.
or the size of the full moon.
No.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'll give you an opportunity here to plug the Cincinnati Observatory's event this weekend, Marsapalooza.
It is Marsapalooza time. Mars is at its closest point to the Earth for its 26-month cycle, and we'd love to have people come over to the observatory and check it out through our telescopes. We'll be open Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m., and we'll have all the telescopes working. We'll be able to see Mars up close, the moon, and Jupiter. It's just $7 a person, no reservations required, and just drop into the observatory.
And I wanted to say I've seen some nice pictures that you posted that were taken through the Cincinnati Observatory telescopes of the last time Mars was close. Pretty, pretty pictures talking about seeing those features.
Yeah, very nice pictures. Yeah, if you want to check it out on my Facebook page, you can just friend me at I'm Dean Regas on Facebook, and we've got some great pictures of Mars. It was at its closest point pretty much ever in 2003. This pass is not as close as it was in 2003, not even close, actually. But it still looks good, just not quite as good as my pretty picture I made.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Wes, about the new Bank of Kentucky Observatory at Thomas More College. This is something that's a little bit different. The Cincinnati Observatory has been around, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Bank of Kentucky Observatory at Thomas More, and how long has it been around, and how did it come about?
It's actually been around for a little bit now. It's just a little over 10 years old. It was first dedicated in December of 2002. It's located right there on Thomas More's campus, right there in Crestview Hills, Kentucky. It was kind of created through a combination of an NSF grant and also a donation from the Bank of Kentucky. So that's obviously where the name comes from. But it was mainly to get a nice facility on our campus that would allow us to do both public outreach, kind of the events that we'll be talking about here today, but also to help out our students in terms of astronomy laboratories and then also doing undergraduate research.
And this is, do you have, I know it's well equipped to take pictures from what I understand, mm-hmm. and how is this observatory different from the Cincinnati Observatory?
So, obviously, you know, it's a bit more modern. The building itself, some people are surprised. It doesn't have kind of the classic dome that's associated with a lot of observatories. It's a roll-top roof, and so basically the roof just kind of rolls back. Our telescopes are... they're smaller than what you have over at the Cincinnati Observatory, but we have four of them. And again, that's kind of nice because when we have a crowd up for one of these public nights, people can go from one telescope to another and look at different objects, and there's not quite as much of a rush. And, you know, the nice thing about kind of having a more modern observatory is that we do have a control room. We do have the ability to, especially when we have undergraduate researchers that are up there all night, they can sit in a nice control room, stay warm during the winter or stay cool during the summer, and don't have to worry about being out there at the telescope all the time. It's much more computerized.
But you guys did a great job with the public. I was mm-hmm. out there for, they had me out as a speaker one of the nights, and it was a nice night, and the students were helping you out, and some of the students were really good with the telescope. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a great night.
That's Dean Regas, the outreach astronomer from the Cincinnati Observatory, and Dr. Wes Ryle from Thomas More College. We're talking about the total lunar eclipse that takes place early next Tuesday morning, April 15th. Yes, tax day. We're taking your calls at 513-419-7100, and we will continue our conversation about that total lunar eclipse after a short break. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Dr. Wes Ryle from Thomas More College and Dean Regas from the Cincinnati Observatory are here telling you about the total lunar eclipse happening Tuesday morning in the wee hours and about events at the Bank of America Observatory at Thomas More College and at the Cincinnati Observatory related to the eclipse. If you have a question or a comment, you can call 513-419-7100. And let us know if you're planning on staying up to watch the eclipse or, as Wes suggested, at least setting an alarm, waking up, going out, taking a good gander at it, and then going back in. Let us know, 513-419-7100, or email us, talk@wvxu.org. Well, this is being billed as the blood red moon. You mentioned it, Dean. You said blood red or maybe gray. Or, you know, it's not always red. What determines what color the moon turns during this total lunar eclipse?
Oh, yeah. That's the cool part, is that it doesn't disappear completely. The shade it turns, you got to picture the sunlight is bouncing, refracting off of the Earth's atmosphere, and then projects onto the moon itself. And so what you're seeing in the color is all the sunsets and sunrises of Earth projected on the moon. And so that's the color that it turns. Picture your sunset, and that'll determine what the sunsets were like on Earth is what the color will be on the moon.
And a lot of times it can depend on kind of what the weather's been like, or more importantly, if there's been any large volcanic eruptions recently. And I believe I heard in the news not too long ago that there was actually a large eruption down in South America. And so if there's more material in the atmosphere, that usually indicates maybe a little bit of a redder color.
Oh, yeah. It was in Chile, as I recall. So perhaps that would affect it, especially when we're here in Cincinnati as it goes along. Now, do either of you, and well, the observatory that you are associated with, do either of you have a site that allows people to view through the telescopes online? I mean, because you mentioned about being a little more modern. I know the Cincinnati Observatory Telescope will be celebrating its 169th anniversary of the first use of their telescope on Sunday. I don't know whether it's on the web yet, but do either of you have that ability?
Well, mine not yet. Yeah, 169-year-old telescope. We can modernize. In fact, a lot of our members, or a lot of our visitors say, well, you know, why don't we put a camera on it? And I said, well, then you can get your own telescope and get a camera on it. Our telescope is special because of how old it is, and you have that one-on-one, that moment. You put your eye up to the telescope, and you have that moment with whatever object you're looking at. That's what we want, because I think that's what we have that's unique. But modern telescopes very easily can be done with this, and you can put cameras on it, webcams. You can watch it from the comfort of your own home. It's great. So I that might be something. Are you guys doing that yet?
We don't have the capability yet, but it would definitely be something that we would look into in the future. It's pretty easy to do. I know that when I was an undergraduate student, I actually worked at an observatory associated with Western Kentucky University. And in that case, I operated the telescope and took images from 14 miles away, right? And, you know, that's actually pretty small compared to what you can do with a lot of places nowadays. You can do it from, you know, the other side of the world. It's pretty easy.
That's right. The astronomers wanting that ever so precious telescope time, observatory. I read and heard about that quite a bit. And yes, sometimes even on the other side of the world. It's pretty amazing. 513-419-7100, talking the total lunar eclipse here on Cincinnati Edition. Tim, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. You have a question?
Yes. I wanted to ask the gentleman if they were aware of a professor at University of Louisville who is indeed working on that other side of the planet kind of thing. He has a program called Southern Skies, where he has a robotically controlled telescope in Australia. Allows his students and researchers to access the Milky Way kind of viewpoint during the daytime here.
Have you heard about the Southern Skies
project? Yeah, there are several of these organizations that do this, that they have these webcams set up to the telescopes, and you can, you know, operate them from your home. Another one's called SLOO, S-L-O-O-H, and they have telescopes set up in various parts of the world. So the Southern Sky has a lot of different objects we can't see here in Cincinnati. So that's a benefit of using that. But some of them even allow you to take pictures, and then you have like kind of your own little souvenir from your night of viewing.
And people have a tendency to forget that the Northern Sky has been so overemphasized throughout the history of astronomy research, just because that's where the majority of the research was being taken place. That the Southern Sky has a lot of objects, a lot of opportunities for research that the Northern Sky kind of already has taken care of.
So Tim, are you going to get up to watch the total lunar eclipse there on tax day?
Yep, afraid I can't help myself. That's a fun thing for me to do. So
I know, watch out. You watch one and you get hooked, so you become an eclipse chaser after that.
Well, thanks.
That's exactly how it is.
Well, thanks, Tim. Appreciate your call. 513-419-7100. You know, you can view this with the naked eye. You mentioned that one of you mentioned it earlier, but do you get more out of the event if you use a telescope?
Well, it sometimes depends. It depends on what the conditions are like. Because I've seen quite a few lunar eclipses over the years, and I like it best just with the naked eye. Because then you can just take in the whole scene. But if you have a small telescope, I think it works well with that too, because you can watch the shadow slowly creep across, and you can like pick a mountain range and wait for the shadow to cover it over. It's kind of cool to see that.
Your opinion, Wes?
And honestly, you know, the telescope is definitely not necessary, but any excuse that I have to get somebody out to an observatory and actually look at the moon through a telescope for the first time, the moon is still my favorite object to actually look at with the telescope, just because you can see the amazing detail, the craters and everything. And, you know, one of the best parts of having these open houses is when you get a kid or even, you know, a 50 or 60-year-old up there actually looking for the first time and you hear that gasp, you know, that's something that a lunar eclipse can kind of inspire people to come out and see that kind of event.
Well, along those same lines, Tim was calling from Grant County, and I know there's better viewing out there where it's relatively dark. Does it make sense for people to go out and away from city lights to see this total lunar eclipse, or is it just as impressive under city lights?
I think the moon cuts through a lot of the city light pollution, so it's really not a big deal to go away from the city lights, I don't think. It just seems that with this, the timing of this being this early in the morning, I vote for convenience. You know, you wake up, you go in your pajamas, you look out the window. If you want to do that, that's great. I also encourage you guys to go to the Bank of Kentucky Center, and they're going to have an event there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are going to be out all night pretty much.
That's what we're planning on having we call it a lunar eclipse camp out. And so it's going to be from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. starting on the night of Monday, April 14th, and going into the morning of the 15th. You know, kind of centered around the eclipse. If people want to come out, bring their lawn chairs, bring a blanket, you know, we'll just be there. The observatory will be open as long as it's nice and clear and safe to have that observatory open. And so, you know, we'll probably kind of make it a little bit of a party, you know, have a like I said, a bonfire where you can roast some hot dogs, roast some marshmallows, maybe have a movie playing as well. But just a nice way to hang out all together and watch the eclipse.
Let's talk about the events that are going on around this. Mm-hmm. You jumped ahead. Thank you for asking my question there, Dean. Appreciate that. But you actually have something that's happening tomorrow.
That's right.
So what's happening tomorrow at Thomas More?
So tomorrow night, it's actually the last of this year's lecture series. We have an astronomy lecture series that goes on throughout the year during the school year. We have four in the fall and four in the spring. This one will be focused on preparing for the lunar eclipse, letting people know the circumstances behind this eclipse, kind of what they need to be able to do to see it, and also advertising that event that we'll have on Monday. It'll be at 8 p.m. there on Thomas More's campus in the Saint Center. And then afterwards, if it's clear, which I think tomorrow's forecast is looking pretty good, we'll go up to the observatory and actually look at the moon, look at Mars, look at Jupiter, and look at some other objects as well.
And then you mentioned, okay, so that's the lecture that happens tomorrow mm-hmm. night, but then you're having this camp out for the lunar eclipse on Monday night.
Correct.
Starting Monday night.
And, of course, the camp out is weather dependent. That's the problem. Our nemesis, astronomer's nemesis, Mother Nature, might have some plans for Monday night. But as long as it's we can get a glimpse of the moon, we'll definitely go ahead with that event. Like I said, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Starting Monday, April 14th.
And we have details about this at WVXU.org. And I mentioned Marsapalooza. You've already plugged Marsapalooza. That's happening tomorrow. And then on Sunday, you have the first light celebrating the 169th anniversary of the telescope. Uh-huh. And then what do you do? What is the Cincinnati Observatory doing for the total lunar eclipse?
Well, we're not quite as ambitious. You staying up all night. Wes is great for this.
I've got a pool of college students. Right?
Oh, well, there we go. See, we don't have that. We don't have that. So we're going to be open for the eclipse also. We invite the whole public to come over and join us and all of our lunatics from 2 o'clock to 5:30. So we'll be there, you know. And same with Wes's event. Ours is only if clear. Otherwise, the astronomers are going to sleep in. So, but we'd love to have you come visit us too. Yeah, we've got a lot going on. Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday early morning.
All right. You, again, can find out about all these events and specifics at WVXU.org. We'll have a link to both the Thomas More College website and to the Cincinnati Observatory website. Email question for you, Wes, from Allison. Which is more significant, a lunar or a solar eclipse?
I think, in terms of significance, I think they're both pretty spectacular events to view, but solar eclipses definitely take the cake for being more of a unique and rare event. You could technically, like we said, there's two solar eclipses a year, so if you were really ambitious and probably really wealthy, you could actually see those solar eclipses every year. But if you're just going to stick to the same location, you actually have to wait quite a while in order to be able to see a solar eclipse. The next opportunity that we have here will be around 2017 and then another one in 2024 where we actually wouldn't have to travel all that much in order to be able to see a solar eclipse.
You wouldn't have Dean Regas's private hovercraft to be
right.
able to fly from one point to the other.
I already have it chartered for Tennessee, Kentucky border. But we do have a partial solar eclipse this year also. Mm-hmm. It's October 23rd. It's going to be slightly, just barely visible from Cincinnati. But if you're farther west, you'd be able to see more. But still, that's always cool to see a partial solar eclipse, too.
Dean Regas from the Cincinnati Observatory and Wes Ryle from Thomas More College talking about the total lunar eclipse here on Cincinnati Edition. You can join the conversation at 419-7100. Michael in Troy, Ohio, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi there. I wanted to recommend that folks who wanted to view the lunar eclipse, they might try the pair of binoculars sitting in the drawer. Mm-hmm. Because that is the best pair of small telescopes that most folks don't even realize they have in their house. And the moon really takes on a little bit more of a contrasty view. And for many of us who maybe are losing a bit of sight,
yes.
We'll really appreciate the way the moon looks through a pair of binoculars. And they don't have to be fancy. Any old birder binoculars or a pair of inexpensive binoculars around the house will work great.
Oh, thanks for that suggestion, Michael.
That is great advice. Yeah, because the moon, you don't need a lot of magnification for it. And when the full moon, it's a full moon, you don't really see a lot of details because everything's so washed out. The light's coming straight at it. So a pair of binoculars, great advice. And I don't know why so many people got binoculars a long time ago, but I'm glad they did because, yeah, they should pull them out.
Well, usually bird watching, sports events, you know, mm-hmm. you have a little bit of something. Or maybe opera glasses. Some people have opera glasses
yes.
sticking around. And that's good not only for looking at the moon, but sometimes for looking at the planets, too. You can use it to sometimes observe the moons of Jupiter.
Well, you need a big pair for the moons of Jupiter. Because you have to magnify quite a bit, unless you have amazing eyesight.
I do, so that's why I see it.
If you're like Mark, then yeah, you could just see them with the naked eye too. But if you could, I think the binoculars are also good for open star clusters. You know, mm-hmm. like the Seven Sisters, the Pleiades. There's some things that take up a lot more space in the sky, and those seem to be pretty good too.
And I get the question a lot of, you know, recommendations for buying a telescope. And a lot of times, especially if it's for somebody who's younger and you're not quite sure if they're going to stick with the habit, and start out with a really good pair of binoculars instead of going straight for a large telescope.
And I know people don't like how it moves, have difficulty holding the binoculars steady. Do you have any advice, you know, mounting them to a tripod? Does that help?
Most definitely, yeah. If you can get most of the big binoculars nowadays come with a tripod adapter, so you can put it on any standard camera tripod, point it up at the sky and just wait for the stuff to come through. But yeah, they're great because they're so portable. It doesn't reverse the image. It's easy to find objects, and you get a little depth perception with two eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, one question that somebody had actually emailed me earlier was asking about the lunar eclipses. They only happen at night, or can they happen during the day and be visible during the day?
Ooh, rarely. There are times where you can see the sun and the eclipsed moon at the same time. You have to be in just the right location. It's because of all that refraction that's going on that you can actually see both objects at the same time. There was one quite a few years ago that was a potential that could happen, but when the moon got low, it got into the haze and I couldn't see. When the moon went down, the sun came up. But it is possible. Very tough to see, though.
Right. It's just a matter of just the right timing to see the sun going down on kind of in one eye and the moon coming up in the other eye.
Okay. Well, we only have a moment left, but Tom from Wilder is on the line. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Tom.
Well, thanks, Mark, and thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be quick here. I just recently learned about Cherry Spring State Park over in Pennsylvania and what a great place that is to look at the starry sky because it's so dark. And planning to take my family over there the last weekend of this month when there's no moon. And I wonder if any of you fellows have heard of it, and is it indeed worth the trip?
Oh, I haven't heard of it myself.
I have heard about it, and I have heard that it is a very nice viewing because it is so dark. Matter of fact, the park, I believe, bills itself as perfect for gazing. But I'm afraid, Tom, I haven't been there.
And I think this is going to be more popular as, I have heard about these parks that are called dark sky parks where people can go and get away from the lights a little bit. The observatory here has an off-site location. We go to Stone Lick State Park where we go there on nights where the moon's not up and we can just barely see the Milky Way. But I bet out in Pennsylvania we'll see a lot more than that.
Yeah, Stone Lick State Park out in Claremont County.
Correct.
The sister county the sister park to East Fork State Park. So. Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Observatory Outreach Astronomer and co-host of Stargazers on PBS, Dean Regas, and Dr. Wes Ryle, Assistant Professor of Math and Physics at Thomas More College. Both the Cincinnati Observatory Center and the Bank of Kentucky Observatory at Thomas More College are having events about Tuesday's total lunar eclipse. Details about those events online at WVXU.org. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a moment, Visionaries and Voices, a local nonprofit group which provides support and more to over 140 visual artists with disabilities here in the Cincinnati community. You'll learn more in just a moment on Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7.